Hello, welcome to Spotlight, the green shoots of creativity in a sometimes bleak world.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, the non-stop whirlwind of creativity who is Jacqueline Murray-Grace tells us about her latest project coming up this very weekend at the Erin Arts Centre. We head to that very place to hear what else is happening artistically in the South in the spring weeks ahead, and how a local filmmaker has won the Best Director Award in London. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you may be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in that spotlight. This programme, poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpted, drag, film, mime, social media, the list goes on, lots I forget. Just email spotlight@manxradio.com or me directly, Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. Get in touch, get on air.
We write sometimes in spite of ourselves. No, in this nonsense world, there's no time to dwell on our flotsam and jetsam minds. Today that we are word blind and crippled in every distinction, our systems cruelly maimed to imperfection. Limbs removed by aliens, altered, then reconnected. Now they deserve only to lie in hospital trolleys, these once honest attachments reduced to promised worries, and only a furnace will do. And late.
Well, the poetry of Jacqueline Murray-Grace, with the haunting drone and wash of a gong behind there. Magical sound, isn't it? Just a snippet from a show coming up this very weekend, Friday evening in fact, at the Erin Arts Centre, Annabelle's Adventures. The woman herself, Jackie that is, not Annabelle, dropped into the Spotlight studio to tell me more, and I asked her what the evening was all about.
Bob's dangerously dipped and poised and dripped. Okay, it's from my book launch. The book is The Worst Place to Hide Than Inside Secrets, which is my third poetry book, but my first collection containing over 63 pieces and full of QR codes to performances and recordings and collaborations. So I'm going to be showcasing my poetry to the backdrop of some amazing performers. So we have Amy Howes from Soundology, who has her gongs and singing bowls. So if you're listening to Christie's Live Lounge the other week, you might have heard us. And then we've got Virgil and Luna, who are playing a whole array of things. So we've got various types of drums and recorders and accordions and violins. And then Owen Atkinson, they'll be doing some interpretive dance. The theory is I'll be doing interpretive dance alongside them. So we'll see how that works out. And I'm just trying to think what else is going to be happening. Well, there'll also be the pocket full of secret poem that we're going to create.
So is it, as you say, poetry to a backdrop of this music and mask and imagery and colour? Or is there a sort of a linear narrative, as it were, to the evening?
There is no linear narrative as such. There is a linear narrative inside my head, which might not necessarily translate. It's rather loose. It's all about the power of creativity in the face of challenge. So the first half is loosely based around the concept of portal, which is the idea that my own creativity opened due to health issues. Despite being like a trained musician, I never really felt I had tapped into that creative source until a few years ago, and then it just erupted, which was amazing. It's been the best, most transformative thing ever. I love it. So the portal, and there's a gong which helps open up the portal, and then we move into the second half, which is loosely based around power. We realise that some of the pieces maybe should have swapped halves, but it doesn't matter. It's all based around what it is. So there's some more powerful pieces. So there's some more of my kind. They're not slam pieces, but they're more slammy in that they're faster paced. Mm-hmm. There is a lull in the middle, actually, the second half, and we end on a dramatic climax.
And you mentioned masks there. So I've seen a couple of pictures. There are some wonderful handmade masks involved in this.
Yes, so we'll tell the story of the masks. Anybody who is familiar with my work, On Ravensdale Hill is my first publication, which is a battle between the raven and the phoenix. So I thought it'd be quite nice to bring that energy into the show as well. So we have a mask, which is a raven. We will have a mask, it's a phoenix. And also Amy will be wearing a sun mask. The story behind the masks is that Fern Collister, the art therapist, she came to my house and helped me and my daughter do paper mache, we failed spectacularly. So my husband took over. My daughter could have done it, to be fair, if she was left to her own devices. I failed spectacularly. My husband took over, and he has an art degree and is just amazing at making. And he has made the most beautiful masks. They are stunning.
So it's a real, like I said, it's a feast for the eyes, it's a feast for the ears. It's one of these sort of immersive sort of sounding things where you've got, as you say, you've got the gongs, the sounds, the drums, the singing bowls, this backdrop of music and dance, your poetry in the middle of this mix as well, and then, like I said, the visuals of these masks as well. Was it something, so did you sort of conceive it in your head, this sort of the performance idea?
Yeah, I did. As we were talking about earlier on, so I feel with my performance poetry that it's, and I have spoken about this earlier on the radio, but I feel like it's very intense. You're familiar with my poetry, Howard. Mm. You've seen it a few times. It's quite in your face. It's quite raw. It's out there sometimes.
Yes,
I play a lot with imagination and story as well. I love the storytelling side of it. I absolutely love working with imagination, imaginary characters. And I have a lot of draw to like various characters within my writing. And this one character, Annabelle, was basically the character that guides. It's one of my illustrations. It basically became this character, Annabelle, and it guides the reader through the book itself. So I decided to take Annabelle out and turn her into a character. So really it's got that theatrical slant to it. And I like it because I'm a musician as well. And that's a really important aspect of who I am and my personality. And I trained in jazz and in improvisational music. And I love the idea of interactivity, spontaneity, just working with people who are really intuitive about how to interact with each other. So that's really what it was based around, was the idea of getting these amazing sounds, because I love sound and I love words. And my poetry itself is very percussive, which is another element of it. And the idea of dropping that into light in the gong or the singing bowls or the drums or everyone all together. Also, movement is a huge part of what I do. And initially, the book was supposed to be about, it was supposed to be a celebration of movement. It was to help raise awareness of Without Wings, the charity that I run, which is about people who have autoimmune joint affecting illnesses. And so it was about, celebrating music. And Annabelle was originally a dancer, actually a ballerina. And the initial idea I had for the show was that it was going to be a shadow dance. I always wanted Owen to be involved, but we were going to have like a projector and we were both going to do it together. But it got a bit complex trying to work out the technology of everything. Plus, there was the issue that if I got sick, I wouldn't be able to move. So we decided to scrap that whole deal and go for something a bit different with these really, like you said, immersive, really super immersive. Experiential, is that a word? Where people can have a full experience of something. And so I hope it's going to be quite different.
So suitable for anyone with an open mind then?
Suitable for anyone with an open mind, yes, definitely. I think it's probably, it is dramatic, it is drama, so hopefully suitable for anyone. Mm-hmm. I would say possibly if you're wanting to bring a young person along, maybe 12 plus.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And it's Erin Arts Centre this coming Friday, and we should say again, it is a 7:30 curtain up, 7:30.
It's a 7:30 curtain up. Initially it went out as 8 because I come from Andreas and Erin Arts Centre is really far away, but it went out at 7:30 on the ticket. So 7:30 if people are thinking of turning up on the door.
7:30, all right, but people can get there in time. Rehearsals have gone well. Kind of know I've seen a couple of things and you have been in rehearsal for this for some time. Are you sort of ready to rock, as they say?
yes, everything's going to be all right on the night. Well, we've got a few tweaks. We've got a dress rehearsal on Sunday, which I'm very much looking forward to. And I have told the team we're going to run through the whole thing. We're just going to do start to end. Because it, as you probably know, Howard, right, when you're trying to rehearse anything, trying to get to the end is really difficult because you get hiccups and you get stuck and it's all going to be great. I mean, I'm generally a solo performer, so I perform by myself. And the ones I'm most nervous about are the ones where I am performing by myself. I feel like the ones that are to music or sound, I've got more of a handle on, but it should be a really nice evening. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure it will be. Tickets available via the Erin Arts Centre.
ErinArtsCentre.com.
Lovely. And just finally, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, you've always got loads of things on at the same time. I can't believe that the second this is finished, you'll have something else. Are you able to say at the moment anything else you're working on in the coming months through 2024?
Yeah. So this is my third book that's been funded by the Arts Council, very generously. And I also have a fourth book that's been funded, which it was due to be finished last month, but I've given myself a bit of leeway. So that is almost at completion. So that'll be out soon, but I'm going to have the official launch next year. I thought I'd give it a bit of a break. And I also have a project in my head that I'm working on.
I knew you would.
In November. So I'm planning to take all of November for myself because I have a big birthday.
Marvellous. 21 again. Well, listen, we look forward to that. And don't take this literally, but of course, in the best theatrical terms, I can only wish you break a leg.
Thank you so much. System stretched me too
thin and tried to beat me. Loving that sort of drum, poetry, scatty type sound. Terrific. Sounds like it's going to be an amazing evening. Sadly, I'm already rehearsing myself for something else, otherwise I'd aim to be there. Still a few tickets available, I believe, says Jackie. Available from the Erin Arts Centre. Just go onto their website and book there. You might be looking on the door, I don't know. Don't forget, though, it's a 7:30 curtain up, not 8 o'clock, as mentioned in some places. No doubt we'll be hearing more from Jackie in the very near future. Unstoppable. Speaking of the Erin Arts Centre, well, I thought it might be a good time to check out what's coming up down south in the next few weeks. Artistically, it is the hub for the arts in the south, after all. So earlier today, I dropped in to speak to Artistic Director at the centre, Pip Rolfe, who told me that even the normally lull weeks post-Christmas have been pretty busy this year.
We normally sort of try and get straight back into it, because otherwise January and February can be a bit depressing, can't they?
Yes, tell me about it.
So we go back into our normal programme of films and the screenings, but we also had Young Singer of Man competition down here at the end of January, which was a fantastic event, really well attended.
You're saying a record entry this year?
44 entrants, I think we had, which, well, I'm saying it's a record. I think it is. But, it was just a lovely event. And I feel like that sort of new format that we've got of the two songs, one round, works really well. It was a joy.
Here we are then in early spring, March, and I was just looking as we came in to have a chat, and there's a whole scutcher of posters advertising various things, everything from jazz to a speech to, I know something, we were talking to Jackie Murray Grace, got something coming up this very Friday. A wide range of artistic events in the foreseeable?
There is a wide range of events, yeah. That's how we like it. How did it get to be March already?
I know, tell me about it.
The daffodils are out, the sun's sort of shining.
And so when you, as sort of artistic director, when you're sort of programming it, do you try and deliberately get a regular mix of events?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously we're dependent on who comes to us with events as well. But yeah, I do try to mix it up in terms of, I think a healthy arts scene really should include pretty much everything that, and reflect everything that a community does and likes to see. And I think we just try and put on as much as we can, really.
And how does it actually work that way from that point of view? How much of it is stuff that's planned by you and your team and put into the calendar, and how much of it is stuff that people approach you and say, hey, Pip, yeah, I'd like to put on this show, put on this play, put on this poetry evening, whatever?
I think it's fairly equal, to be honest. Obviously, we get quieter months where, for some reason, we have less external promoters, which means that we have to sort of push our own events a little bit more. But I think it's a pretty good balance. I like the idea that we're here to push our own programme of events, but we're here as a community resource as well, to allow people to, rehearse and perform and do their thing. Obviously, we've got the gallery space as well, which, has a whole new wing of things going on.
So let's have a glance then. What's coming up? Give us a few sort of highlights of events happening in the next few weeks. So that's sort of heading in spring, really, through March and early April.
Well, first of all, I have to mention that on Saturday, our very own Ian Galloway, who's a long-time volunteer down here. Do you know Ian?
Yes, I think I do.
When I think of Ian, I think of Merlin. Long, flowing, white locks and a beard. They're all going on Saturday afternoon. for Man in Cancer. Ian will be having everything shaved, well, not everything, but his beard and hair will be shaved off on Saturday afternoon. So from 2 o'clock, everybody is welcome to come along. There'll be, you know, we'll have the cafe open, and you'll be able to sponsor Ian. So that's the first event that we have this week. And then that evening we have a Verdi opera, which is La Forza del Destino. Is that the power of destiny?
That sounds right.
It's a Verdi. So that's live from the New York Met, starting at 5 to 6. So the form is that you can get dressed up if you want to, come and have a glam night out at the opera. We provide a nice suave buffet for the interval.
Brilliant.
And it feels, you know, it's a sort of experience.
I must come and do one of those sometimes. I haven't been. I keep spotting them and thinking, I'll try one of those one day. Do you get a mixed crowd, or is it an older crowd? Or
I think that really depends on the show. We had a really big crowd down for Carmen, which was the last programmed event. But yeah, it really does. I mean, obviously Carmen's one of the big hits, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, very popular.
It really depends. I think because this is a lesser known Verdi opera, I think it's been about 20 years maybe since the Met have done it. So that shows that it's, it's another tale of intrigue and skullduggery. It's not a piece that I know very well. So I think, yes, some of the bigger, more successful shows, well-known shows, tend to draw bigger audiences. And it does tend to be, I don't know, demographic-wise, I would say we have got some young people coming to this, which is really encouraging. Tends to be a slightly older crowd, but I think that's changing a little bit.
More from Pip next week. And whether it's the EAC, Centenary Centre in Peel, or the Ramsey Courthouse, get out there and support the wonderful events these centres put on.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, a wonderful story you might have heard in the Manx news recently is that of Ireland-based filmmaker Bethany White, who admitted she couldn't believe her ears when she'd found out she'd been recognised as Best British Director at the London Director Awards for the short film The Auteur. She spoke to Manx Radio's Christian Jones.
It's a huge deal, yeah, especially considering the film that the award was for. It was the first time that I've directed a short fiction film on my own, and it was also the first festival that the film had got into, so it was a huge surprise all around.
And what sort of things do you have to consider when you are a director? Because for most people, they go to the cinema, they watch a movie in front of them, but there's never that appreciation, well, for me at least, of what actually goes on behind the scenes.
I think directing is a really difficult thing to understand unless you actually do it. You know, you can watch a film. Certainly when I was growing up, I recognised a couple of names of directors, but I didn't really know what their job was. But to me, it's all about sort of holding the creative vision of the film at the forefront. And that's a really important thing, because sometimes you can watch a film and you go, oh, that was okay. But when you've got a really great director at the helm of things, it brings the story to life in a way that you just don't get.
So the London Director Awards happened a couple of weeks ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And were you at the award ceremony?
Unfortunately, I wasn't. It was a bizarre thing because, as I said, it's the first festival that the film got into. And they only had a handful of, sort of 5 or 6 films that they actually screened, but there were quite a lot more that got sort of shortlisted for it. So I thought, okay, I was planning to travel over to the island that night anyway, so I thought, oh, I won't move my flight for it. And one of the ones that was screened has actually just won the BAFTA for Best Short Film. So I thought, okay, I'm in a serious competition here. I'm not going to expect anything from it. And then once I landed that evening, I got an email through telling me that it had won this award, and it's just... It made for a very, very nice evening.
So what was your reaction when you open that email up and you see that? Because, I mean, for me, it's almost like a job application, and you get the rejection back, and you do the reading of it, but you kind of already know what is coming. What was it like opening that up and seeing that you've actually won?
Well, so my partner Patrick opened the email. We run our production company together, and he told me it, and it did take probably 20 minutes or so for me to actually believe that he was telling me that was the truth of it. You know, I had to see the email, see the little sort of certificate that they put together for it, and see there was a runner-up in the same category before it started to sink in that, oh, okay, this has actually happened. And I believe a lot in the film, but you never quite know when you put it out into the world how it's going to go down with people. So you're always sort of trying to bring down your expectations because you don't do it for the awards or anything. You do it just because you love making films. So you never expect to get anything back from it. But when it does happen, it's very, very nice.
Talk to me about The Auteur. What is that about?
So it's a short film. It's about a filmmaker who is writing his ideal female character and sort of putting her into scenarios. But what he doesn't expect is that she starts to sort of gain awareness of this world being built around her and fight back against the things that he's trying to make her do as the storyteller. So it's got quite a surreal aspect to it. There's it's completely without dialogue. It's all about the visuals and the action, and she comes into his world and they end up having a big battle. I've always been quite writing driven in my work before, and this was a real chance to dig into the visual side of things and have a lot of fun in the directing chair.
And a quick finally, a new series of Interior Design Master starts on BBC One on Tuesday, hosted by Alan Carr. 10 amateurs battle it out for a life-changing contract. One of the contestants this year is Roseanne Quinn from the Isle of Man. Siobhan Fletcher caught up with her ahead of the season premiere.
Basically, in a nutshell, you've got 10 designers and we're all wanting to win the big prize, and that's like our own kind of collection with Laridu. And you're given a different challenge each week, a different brief, and after every episode basically someone gets kicked out and that's it right until the end. So obviously next week will be the first episode, and that was like signature style, so it's a great way to sort of showcase what we're like as designers and what we prefer in a way of design style. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what people think of it and my style, but it's quite out there anyway. But yeah, that's kind of the show in a nutshell, like just getting eliminated each week and see who wins.
So you're all kind of amateur interior designers, am I right in thinking, going into the show anyway?
Some of us are definitely more experienced than others. Some have already come from an interior design background. Depending on how long you've been in the industry, it will, you know, if you can apply or not, you have to hit like a certain criteria. But for me, obviously, I came from travel beforehand. Like I was a travel agent, really, travel advisor. So I didn't have any professional experience. I just done some projects in my parents' house on the Isle of Man. So that was kind of the extent of it for me.
So if we sort of came into your house or indeed your parents' house, would we see some kind of wacky styles then? Is that where you've tested out everything?
Yeah, basically the poor things are traumatized every time they walk into the house. Nah, it's not bad, honestly. I don't know how I manage it. It was quite a... I think if I had time to think about the whole project itself, I wouldn't have done it. But because I was there and at home at the time and looking at things, I don't know what happened to me. I just kind of let loose and my parents went along with it. Bless them. They're amazing. And they love it. And I've had really good response. I started documenting it on an Instagram page and the feedback was lovely. So I thought, yeah, I think I've got something here. So I started to kind of run with it.
That's about it for this week. Don't forget, if you want to hear anything again, go to manxradio.com, download the Spotlight podcast, listen where and when you want. Why not try it whilst out trying to get your lawnmower to start after its winter break? See you next week. Until then, look after yourselves, and whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Cheerio.